Hello.
Hello. Oh, wait. I didn't put in our special intro.
Oh, okay. Back it up. I was never here.
Where is it?
Sorry, I feel like I jumped. I talked before you then as well.
Sorry about that. How dare you? Stay in your lane, young man.
I'll be silent until called upon.
Here it is.
Kua tai, te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight, e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Ah, very professionally done, that whole intro. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Thank you for calling upon me.
It is time for the Scorpio Books Spotlight with our Tuesday sponsors.
Let's go.
How are you, Josh? Are you well?
I'm good. Yeah. It's a bit cold this morning, but it's toasty in here. I'm good.
Cool.
I'm living life.
What book are you spotlighting this week?
I'm spotlighting one book mainly, which is Fractal Noise by Christopher Paolini.
Are you sure that's not a band?
Like, it does sound like a band, doesn't it? It is a great band name. But no, it is a book. But before I go into that, I just want to very quickly, just because this, I did something recently, book related, that I'm very happy with and very proud of.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
I need the audience to know.
Yeah.
I finished The Wheel of Time. Thank you. Hold for applause.
Is it 14 books?
It's 14 books.
Wow.
I finished it like maybe 3 weeks, a month ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. If anyone's ever been kind of on the fence about it, they're like, oh, it's really long. Is it worth it? You know, something like that. You're like, if it doesn't end well, then, you know.
Yeah, that would
I would have been deeply depressed. So, you know, if you're wondering, in my opinion, it ends fantastically.
Okay.
It ends very well. Brandon Sanderson took over the last 3 books and did a great job with it. It's a couple of minor, like, differences to how Jordan would write. I found them very easy to roll with. And it was great. And I just wanted to say that everyone should read it. At least read the first... Well, at least read the first two. I would say read the first one, but the first one is quite kind of different to the rest.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's not until book two where you're like, oh, okay, this is kind of the tone of the rest of the series.
Right.
So read at least the first two. But anyway.
You got a tattoo to commemorate
I did, actually, yes. I got a blacksmith hammer with some wolf teeth around it by the wonderful Miki Absolution.
That's great.
The hammer is for... Perrin, who is my favorite character of all time, who is blacksmith.
I love that.
And he can talk to wolves, hence the teeth.
I thought you said walls.
No, wolves.
I'm sure wolves could tell
like
some
the
stories
big dogs.
Too.
But. Anyway, that's a very long series, and you know, it's a niche, I'll be honest. Fractal Noise, however... Everyone should read that.
Okay.
It's a sci-fi book, so, you know, it is, I suppose, a little niche. But it's my favorite kind of sci-fi, or one of my favorite types of sci-fi, where it's rather than, you know, I would describe it, you know, Star Wars is like a sci-fi, right? Or Star Trek, right?
Yep.
And it's cool and it's big, but it's like, it's this huge world. It's like kind of dense. It's a lot to get into, you know, and the space battles and everything are really cool. But, you know, sometimes in book form, that requires a long series. It requires, you know, a lot of depth to go into.
Yeah.
But then you've also got stuff like, have you seen the movie Arrival?
Arrival. Oh, with Amy Adams.
That's also sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
I would say Fractal Noise is more on that end of the sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Because I like it when it's that mysterious tone.
So it's set in space, that, you know, they're on ships, they're exploring worlds, it's that kind of stuff. But the story itself is quite small. Essentially, a team of colonists working for a company are surveying this group of planets, seeing if any of them are fit to be colony worlds for Earth.
I mean, that's almost real life now anyway, in a sense.
I mean, at this point in human history where the book is set, like, we have faster than light travel, we can travel the stars.
Oh, gosh.
But we haven't encountered any, like, intelligent alien species.
Right.
We've encountered, like, flora and fauna that are interesting, but not any, like, you know, aliens that we could have a conversation with.
Right.
So while they're on this mission, they're about to pack it in, essentially, and then they look at a planet and they realize, oh, there's a hole there. That's weird. And they look at it further and they realize this hole is perfectly circular, you know?
Right,
like, it's not off by more than a millimeter in its place, which obviously speaks to some form of intelligent design, not natural phenomenon. And also, the hole is outputting a huge amount of energy, and every 10.6 seconds it's making this kind of this thud noise. It's outputting some form of sound wave. And they're like, well, that's really crazy, and this could potentially be humans' first experience with alien life. We need to go and look at this. They can't land too close to it because of that noise and the EMP. It would mess up their ships. So they have to land about 100 and something kilometers away and walk their way to the hole. That's basically the first, like, you know, small section of the book. And then the rest of the book is the walk. And it's a four-man team.
Oh, okay.
Our main character is Alex, who's getting over some grief of a recent death he had in his life. And we've also got, I'm going to forget some of their names. I know I read it recently, but I'm terrible with names. It's awful. But anyway, you've got a geologist who's been like stemmed up. So like he's huge, like he's kind of got, you know, like body modifications to make him, really, huge, intimidating.
Sounds hot, actually.
He's pretty hot. You've got the leader of the mission, who's like a devout Christian, and goes on about it a lot. And you've got Chen, who's kind of the chemist, who's just, he's kind of there, and I feel bad for him a lot of the time because they're all very strong personalities.
Yeah.
And Chen is like the real life person living around book characters, where it's kind of like, I'm just trying to like do my job and like just exist. And everyone's like, you know, having these monologues as he's kind of just chilling. And that's basically the whole book, is the walk to this hole. The closer they get to the hole, the louder the noise becomes. The atmosphere does not like them. It's constant wind buffeting them. You've got this noise all the time. It's horrible. They can't breathe the atmosphere. It's a terrible situation.
Right. Okay.
And that's the whole book. It's part sci-fi adventure. Christopher Paolini is the author of the Aragorn series.
I was going to say, I recognize that name.
Yeah, and he also wrote To Sleep in a Sea of Stars maybe 2 years ago now, which is a sci-fi book. Sleep in a Sea of Stars is like an 800-page, a little bit more of like a we're going here, space battle, aliens, all this stuff. This is like a 245-page like deep dive into like grief on an alien world. It's a much different kind of sci-fi, and I think he does it really well. In places it's like, ooh, adventure, ooh, what's going on? In places it's like borderline cosmic horror, you know, like as they get there and, you know, things start to happen, there's tensions fray within the group, is what I'll say on that, and it gets quite dramatic.
It's a long walk.
It is a long walk, yeah. And also the main character is dealing with some pretty heavy grief, and this kind of walk, this I need to get there, I need to do this. He's doing it less for himself and more for the memory of the one he's lost.
Okay.
Which is a strong driving force sometimes, and at other times is a crushing sense of loneliness and grief.
Yeah, sure.
And he swings between those two wildly as they walk.
Grief is funny like that, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I think the book has a lot of very interesting things to say on grief. On kind of human existence, on like this, there's a lot of kind of existential talks, especially from that Christian lady, and the big geologist dude is like very much like an atheist, you know, so they kind of fight a lot. It's kind of like high school when the Christians and the atheists start fighting, but but it's more interesting.
I mean, those were good.
Yeah, those were good,
so.
But it's better, and you can just stop if it's too much. But yeah, they both have a lot of interesting things to say about, you know, if aliens exist, how does that fit into God? God, you know, was there an alien Jesus?
I'd love to have this conversation.
You know what I mean? And they all have very interesting opinions on it. But yeah, I would say it's a great book if you're like, haven't really read sci-fi before, aren't sure where to start with sci-fi.
Yeah.
It can feel like a very intimidating genre. You're like, you know, so many of the books are in big series and you're like, am I going to understand it all? Is there going to be like weird alien stuff? This is quite a small story for a sci-fi. It's very easy to, you know, there's only a limited amount of like sci-fi technology you got to wrap your head around. And it's all very simple. I think Chris Paolini is really good at writing a very a page turner, so to speak.
Right. Okay.
It's a bit of an overused term, but I read this book in like 3 days. It was just great.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's not that long.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's not super long. Yeah. If you haven't tried sci-fi before, I think this is a great place to start. I think it's got some of those more classic literary things people like, but it's set in a very cool sci-fi world.
Oh, yeah, it's just great. I'm quite sold on this.
It's really good. Yeah, Fractal Noise.
I want to ask if we know what's in the hole, but like, don't answer that question.
I will not answer that question. Okay. No spoilers.
Thank you very much for joining me this morning.
No
Josh.
Problem. Thank you
and
very much.
And congratulations
for
on getting through the Wheel of Time.
Thank you very much.
What was it, a year and a half of your life?
About a year and a half. Yeah, just over a year and a half.
Oh my God. Yep. you're braver than I am.
That's right. That's now I get to read other things.
Yeah,
know?
You
I'm
do.
I'm so free.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.